goodness here in the land of the living. We pray for those who are sick today, for those who may be under the weather. They remain in our prayers. We thank God for what he's doing for our extended family that are not able to be here, that may be watching online. Today is the day for us to worship God together. Amen. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Revelations, the third chapter. We'll find ourselves in verses 7 through 13. And as I continue to hear pages turn, I'll wait, give everyone an opportunity to find that place in Scripture. All right. And it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make of them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and they and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Father God, for this time that you have brought us together to hear your word, to hear what you are speaking to us and what you want us to understand about this time in which we live. Father, I pray that you bless those that are viewing online, but Lord, bless the church here as well. Strengthen us, Lord. Give us clear understanding, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that I decrease and that you, by your Spirit, increase within me so that I can preach it the way you've given it to me. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. I'd like today to preach from the subject, "Yes, He Opened That Door." I want us to be interactive again today. Look at your neighbor or someone that is near you and say, "Yes,
He opened that door."
One more time. Yes, He opened that door. All right. So within this part of Revelations, what we are reading today is one of the letters that was given to one of the seven churches. These churches were a part of Asia Minor. If we were to look at where they're located today, they would be in modern-day Turkey. And what God was revealing to this church called Philadelphia is that I see and I notice your works. He said, "I see them, I notice them." As I am looking over the churches in this area in Asia Minor, I am noticing you. And if you read within within Revelations 1 to 3, you'll see how he addresses each one of the churches. He addresses them. He addresses their works. He addresses their intentions, their motives, their heart. He addresses the way that they interact with one another. And he addresses the way that they interact with him. But when he gets to Philadelphia, he particularly stops and he wants them to understand, "I know that you're small. I know that you have little strength." This part of Scripture means you don't have the means to do what your character would allow you to do if you had the opportunity.
This scripture is pointing to character. It is pointing to the church body that was in Philadelphia that had heard the words of the apostles, and they accepted it, and they applied it. And they were not discouraged because they were small in number. They were not discouraged because they didn't have all of the money and the assets that some of the other churches had. They did what they could do with what they had, and they weren't discouraged about it. The scripture says, I see. He says, I see thy works. And I want us today to think about the fact that at this time, in this area, in this season that we are in right now, it is apparent that the enemy has an all-out campaign to attack the church in general, to attack our motives, to attack our resolve to be righteous, to give us alternatives to the holiness and the scriptures that God has given us, to give us a reason to go outside of what the Word of God says for our lives. We are given alternative choices. We are given alternative pathways and ways of living that we know go against Scripture. Even in the Lord giving me this sermon today, I'm remembering, and this is something that was on when I was a little child, like little. But I remember there's this show called Let's Make a Deal. And all I can remember is that I would sit there as a little child, tiny, younger than Blakey, and I'm thinking, don't get the door with the donkey. That's all I could think of. Don't get the door with the donkey. Get the door with the money. Get the door with something. But you're dressed up today. Don't get the door with the donkey. And that's where we are today as a church. We have doors. God gives us choices. We live our lives, and our lives are filled with choices. We have a decision to make every time we wake up. Am I going to live today as a Christian, or am I going to take the door with the donkey? Am I going to live today as a Christian? Am I going to follow the Word of God? Am I going to adhere to what my faith says that I should adhere to? Am I going to keep my hand to the gospel plow? And am I going to work in the vineyards and do what the Word of God says that I should do? Am I going to live as if this is not the end for me? Many people are living their lives as if this life that they're living now is all there is. But for the Christian, for the saint, we understand that there is something beyond that last breath that we take. And yes, God, the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, the things that we commit to are because we know that He has a home for us. We know that He has gone to prepare, yes, God, a place for us. And so the decisions that we make today to keep in line our character, to keep in line the way that we treat people and the way that we interact with people, to watch our conversation is because we believe that there is something else. We believe that He has opened a door for us like He opened for Philadelphia. We believe that if we continue to keep our hands to this job, to this role that He has given us as children of God and as soldiers of the cross, that He will notice us, that He will see that we have taken on His character, that we are in Him and He is in us, and we're giving glory to the Father. We see the open door. We see the open door. But the challenge often is, will we walk in? We see it. We know what the Word of God has given us. We know that God, that through Scripture, the Lord has told us that if we will work, that we are accumulating, that we are building up our treasures in heaven. We know that as we deny ourselves, as we deny our flesh, as we deny our carnality and sin, that we indeed are building up treasures. that we are earning crowns, that we are remaining on this gospel train, if you will. And so now we see this little church, this church called Philadelphia. And within Scripture, he says, "These things saith he that is holy and that is true, that hath the key of David. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth." In those words, what he is saying is, I am the one that is the gatekeeper of your future. I am the one that is the gatekeeper of your destiny. I am the one that has the keys that can lock it or unlock it. And when I unlock it, no one can lock that up for you. Which means that according to Scripture, what God has for me, it is for me. What God has planned for you and me in this lifetime, it will occur. Why? Because he has opened that door. Because no man can shut that door. Satan is a liar that would deceive the church and cause us to doubt that the things that God has declared for us in his word aren't true. We cannot be like Adam and Eve in the garden and start listening to option B when we already have the word that tells us that all we have is option A and we can just walk right in. He's opened that door. Yes, he opened that door. Verse 8 says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." So now we have to really look at, what is this word kept? What is this word to keep? It's a Greek word, phidiasete. And phidiasete, or the Greek word, which is the Greek word kept, or tereo, which is the Greek word keep, means to guard. It means to remain in a state in which you're in. So what he was saying to the church of Philadelphia, he's saying, you were given the word. You were given an understanding of my character. You grabbed it and you kept it. In spite of other people saying, well, I don't know if it takes all that. You grabbed it and you kept it. When people say, well, I don't know if you should continue to believe in Jesus Christ, because after all, there's a rumor that says his body was stolen. You grabbed the word of the apostles and you held on to it and you have kept it. This is the challenge of the church today. It is the line in the sand that is drawn. Will we believe God or will we believe man? Will we believe the word of God or will we believe the lie that Satan is telling today? Will we believe that there is still power in the blood to keep, to save, and to keep us within the realm of his kingdom? Or will we believe that we have to go in and out of righteousness, in and out of holiness? Holy one day, loving God one day, submitting to his will one day, and another day I'll cuss you slap out. And that is not to say that he is not a forgiving God. We understand that. He knew that he has made us in this flesh, but he also has given us his spirit. His spirit tells us, you know, you shouldn't keep doing that. So are we going to believe that we should, according to John, submit and to receive that word and to line ourselves up with Scripture? Or are we going to continue to walk in our flesh? God forbid. We should walk in truth. Amen. And so this means that the church of Philadelphia, they kept what was given to them. They kept it. They committed to it. They said, I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to live right. I'm going to let this control and dictate my character. Amen. And according to this, he said in Scripture that they would not have to endure some things that the other churches and the world in general would have to go through. And we'll talk about that. And so now we look and we see that a door is open because they kept his word. In Psalms 119 and 11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The word has to be hidden. It has to be hidden. Why? Because Satan is looking for the word. He is looking for the saint who has the word. And when he sees that we have the word, he immediately, because he is a predator, he immediately begins to say, is there some part of it that they are not holding tight? Is there something that I can come by as a scavenger and steal away that I can take away from them? Why? Because he wants the word. He doesn't want the word because he wants to obey it. He wants the word because he doesn't want you to understand what we have. He doesn't want us to understand the power that is in the word. He doesn't want us to understand the cleansing agent that the word is for us. So he tries to take it away. Amen. And so we are going about our Christian walk, every one of us, going about our Christian walk, and we're not understanding that there are sometimes things need to be hidden. We're soldiers. We're soldiers of the cross. We're followers of the Lamb. But there's sometimes we got to keep our mouth shut and keep things hidden. Amen? And as the Lord was saying this, I said, God, you're going to have to give me an example. Because when I preach this, somebody's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. Amen? So let's look at 1 Samuel 1, 9, verse 9 through 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 through 28. And I want to just briefly talk about somebody that understood the value of hiding something, of keeping something to themselves. In this scripture, we see the story of Hannah. Hannah was married to a gentleman. His name was Elkanah. Now, Elkanah had two wives. And Hannah had Peninnah. Peninnah, having babies. I'm having babies. Got another baby on the way. Got another baby on the way. And Hannah's like, oh my gosh, I'm barren. I cannot produce. I don't feel useful. I don't feel whole. And Hannah, in going with her husband and going to sacrifice, as was their custom, found herself in the temple weeping, crying, pouring her heart out. And as she is crying, her mouth is moving, but no one is hearing what she's saying. And Eli, the priest, walks to her and says, this is not the place to get drunk. Paraphrase. This ain't the place to get drunk. I don't know what you're thinking, but there are plenty of places away from here that you can go and babble and do what you're doing. And she said, I'm not drunk. She said, I'm burdened. I have a need that I'm petitioning God for. And as high priest, he speaks to her, not fully understanding what he was saying at the time. He says, the Lord grant thee thy petition. Did Hannah go back and did she mention this to her husband? Bible doesn't say she did. Did Hannah go back and mention this to Peninnah? Peninnah, just so you know, God's got me. He's got me covered. Baby's on the way. I don't know when, but the baby's on the way. No, she didn't do that. Scripture says she went back. She began to eat. She went about her regular life, and God remembered her. And from that, we have Samuel as a child being brought back to the temple and offered to God. What does that tell us? It tells us that you need to be careful sometimes who you bring into your prayer closet. Because everybody doesn't have your faith. Everybody doesn't have your commitment to knowing that God can and God will. And I'm not against you because I don't tell you everything that I'm praying about. I don't have anything against you. I just need to know that when you come in my prayer closet, when I have shared something with you, that we both need to understand that this thing is something that we're putting before God, and we're going to let God make that happen for us. Amen. Another time where it's good to be quiet. We see in Genesis chapters 37 through 44, and we see Joseph. Joseph is known as the dreamer within Scripture. Joseph has dreams, and he just decides that he wants to let his brothers know, oh, by the way, I don't know how it's going to happen, but y'all all going to bow before me, and mama and daddy too. Somehow, some way. Joseph, hide that. because it caused him to be cast into Egypt as a result. Now, theologians would argue it was the will of God. He needed to reveal that so that he would be thrown into the pit, so that he would be retrieved, so that he would be carried to Egypt, so that God would fulfill the word. And I can understand that. I tend to believe that as well. But for the lesson that we have today, it is important for us also to know that when God gives a revelation to us of what he's going to do to us, sometimes we don't need to share it. Sometimes we need to, as Mary does, ponder that in our heart. Pray about it. Let God give that to you. Amen? And so we take that as an example. And so with Philadelphia, what we see is that Philadelphia kept the word. Philadelphia did not go out and say, here, look at us. We got 10 people here. We're all Christians. We have all accepted the word of the apostles. Look at us. Now, we ain't like Laodicea over there. You know, they got a lot more people than us, but we just as good as y'all. No, they didn't say that. You know what they said? Let's just be holy. Let's just be holy. Let's just do what the scripture says for us to do. And I guess to be more specific, let's just do the teaching of the apostles, because scripture was written later. So let's just do the teaching that we are hearing. Let's adhere to the instruction that we are getting. That's what we need to do today. We need to hear the word of God. Let the word of God abide on the inside of us. And then ask God, how can I walk in it? How can I walk in it? There are two types of soldiers in the military. There's the soldier that you see coming at you in the battlefield with weapons in hand and armaments in tow. And there's the soldier that is in the heels with a sniper that can hit you from a thousand yards away. Two types of soldiers. In this time that we live in, we need more soldiers that are in the heels with snipers than we need those who are with weapons running in the middle of battle. My prayer is that as we as Christians look at the word of God and look at our ability to pray and our ability to fast and our ability to look at your situation and say, I need to pray for this person, or I need to pray for that person, and I'm not going to tell everybody that I'm praying for them. And I'm definitely not going to tell them what I'm praying about. We are standing here in the gap for so-and-so. We're hitting the enemy, and he doesn't even know where we are. Don't you know Satan is not omniscient? He does not have all power. He doesn't have all power. God has all power. The scripture says Satan roams around like a lion, meaning he is in this place. Then he is in this place, then he is in this place, and he has a network of demons that communicate. We have a God that is everywhere at all times, and the Bible says we are created in his image and in his likeness, which means I can send my prayer all over the place at the same time. I can literally pray for each one of you and ask God to intervene on your behalf, and I can hit him as a sniper from right where I am. Amen. We have to get out of the small mindset that says that I am limited in my Christian walk and in my ability to be effective for God. We have to believe that when God places it in our hearts and in our minds to operate within this Christian realm, that we work and that we operate as soldiers of the cross. I want to do more for God than just coming out and standing on a street corner and hollering with a Bible in my hand. I want to be able to go into my prayer closet and have every one of you all come to mind and begin to pray for you, knowing that God knows what the need is. And even if you haven't told me what your problem is, or your situation, or the depression that you're dealing with, or the hopelessness that you're dealing with, that from my prayer closet that I can extend my word up to God, and I can ask God to deal with your situation. And because he said where two or three are gathered in his name, then he will be in the midst. He will honor the fact that if man can come to him and operate in a virtual environment, God can show God operate with your prayer closet in mind. We can be in different places praying about the same thing, and the God that we serve is able to answer us right where we are. Amen. It is time for us to be effective Christians. It is time for us to know that this is a door that He has opened for us that we now have to walk in. We have got to be impactful because people are dying and they're on their way to hell. And if it is not for us to stand and to continue to talk the talk, now we have to get into Scripture and walk the walk. We have to be able to send prayers where prayers need to go. We need to go boldly into situations and say, God is here now. I don't care what you dealt with before I got here, but God just walked into this situation because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Where are the Christians that will stand up and say, I am living for God, and if necessary, I will die for Him? Because to live in Him is gain, and to die for Him is gain as well. Amen. I will be effective while I live, and I will be effective if I have to die. We are the church of God. We are His people. And we have to live in Him. And we have to walk through this door. Because, yes, He opened that door. We see in 1 Kings 18 and 21, Elijah, in dealing with Baal, the prophets of Baal, and the Israelites at that time that were halted between two opinions, Elijah himself is becoming frustrated. He says, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. The people answered him, not a word. Today, that is not acceptable for the church. We have to hear the call and we have to answer it. Unlike the world, God is not going to draft us. Now, Jonah would have something else to say about that. But I tend to believe God ain't going to draft us. He wants us to willingly do His will. He doesn't want to have to place things in our path that makes it so necessary for us to make the right decision that we say, okay, God, please stop beating me. I'm going, okay? I'm going. I'm walking, all right? I'm walking. We're on one accord. He wants us to willingly do His will. He wants us to willingly, my God, willingly live for Him. He stayed on the cross willingly, knowing the pain that He was dealing with, but He had to stay till the last moment to complete the assignment that God gave Him. Can we not do that for Him? Can we not give Him our best? Can we not live for Him? We only have a short period of time here. Life, according to Scripture, is as a vapor. We don't have time to waste. I don't have time to spend time being upset with you and not forgiving you for something you did to me 3 weeks ago, a month ago. I ain't got time for that because time is short. There are too many people that need to be saved. I don't have time to hold a grudge because of something you did to me 3 years ago because time is short. People need to be saved. Amen. The door is open. The door is open and we cannot be halted between two opinions. Amen. And so as we continue to look, we continue to look at the fact that Philadelphia is receiving these great promises from God. He says again, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. What that says to us is He hasn't forgotten about us. And because I live for Him, Satan can't do some things with me that he can do with some others. In other words, all of those who are running in the battle and Satan and the enemy sees you coming and he's actively attacking you because he sees you coming. But if God has you in the heels as a sniper, he doesn't even know how to attack you. My vote is I'd rather be a sniper. I'd rather be a Christian sniper. I'd rather have the faith to reach where the prayer needs to go than to run right into the battle in this day and time. Amen? And so the things that others deal with, you won't have to deal with. This scripture, as I close, this scripture is for the purpose of encouraging us. It's for the purpose of letting us know that there's a deeper depth, there's a higher height in our Christian walk that we have to walk in, that we have to allow God to strengthen our faith, that we have to allow God to encourage us when we need encouragement. Guess what? I'm not always going to be the one that can pray. Sometimes I need your prayer. Sometimes I need your prayer. What happens when the sniper gets sick? I bet you they'll find somebody that'll go help him out and get him back to where he needs to be so he can continue to operate. That's what God does for us. We're never alone. When we need hope, he gives us hope. When we need encouragement, he will encourage us. When he needs to speak to us and give us a revelation and tell us clearer what we need to do with our lives, he will do that. Amen. Dear Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for blessing us with your word. Father, I pray that your word has been clear and understandable for your people. I pray, Father God, that you give understanding not just to have heard today, but to walk in it. I pray, Father God, that the enthusiasm that you have given me in the word, that it be contagious for your people. Let your word be contagious for your people so that it enters their hearts and they begin to operate in it willingly and effectively, Lord. We thank you for that today. Bless us, Lord. Help us. Lead us, guide us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This particular sermon is a two-part. I wanted to preach the whole thing today, but I can't. There's too much there. So I will continue next week with this sermon. We need to understand that there are parties that are involved in our decision making and whether or not we walk through this door of effectiveness in God. Amen. And so next week we'll have part two of this particular sermon and we'll learn more about how we can walk in the door. This is our invitation. This is a time where we do a self-evaluation. God, am I being effective for you? Am I maximizing my effort? And if I'm not maximizing my effort, Lord, help me. If you need to come to the altar is open. Altar is not a place of condemnation. Altar should be a place of rejoicing. It should be a place you come and say, God, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a clearer vision. Thank you for letting me know what you want from me. So the altar is open today. With every sermon, there should be an opportunity to know God. And if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, this is a time to know him as Lord and Savior. Very simple prayer. Father, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that you sent him for me. I confess him as my Lord. Come in, Jesus, into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Take my sins away. And I'm going to live for you from this day forward. That simple prayer, when prayed in faith according to Scripture, seals our deliverance. Now, what does that mean after that? It means we have to still keep reading the Word. We have to find a Bible-believing church that we can be fed, because we're dealing with an enemy that is searching, looking for an opportunity to take the Word from our heart. I'm actively talking to those who don't have a church. You feel lost. You don't feel supported. You don't feel understood. You feel like God has forgotten you. I am petitioning today that God touch your heart and send you here. I'm petitioning today that this word find you where you are, that it lift you up, and that you come to Park Place. Not just online, where you can sit and hear the word but not enjoy the fellowship of the saints, but actually coming here and worshiping with us. So this invitation is a little bit different today, not just to come to the altar, but to come to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching fellowship church. where we love God and we ain't perfect. There's not a person in here, myself included, that is perfect, but we love him. We are more like Philadelphia than a lot of churches are, because we know we're small, but the word is here. God is here, and we invite you to come. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. You hear our prayers, and you answer them all. Father God, you have heard the petition today that you bless this church. Father, you bless Philadelphia because of their character. You bless Philadelphia because of their will and their desire to keep the word that you had given them. Lord, bless us today. This is a special prayer today for our church. A special prayer, Lord, that you touch hearts and minds, and that you speak to people that you have assigned to this house, to this place, to this Christian body. Lord, bless them. Bring families. Bring those, Father God, that are needing shepherding, that are needing support in their Christian walk. Lord, bless those who have heard the word, but they have not had a proper interpretation of your word. They have not had a proper interpretation of their place in you. Lord, thank you for blessing us today and hearing and answering this petition. I thank you, Father God, for blessing those today who are sick and those who are needing to be healed. And Father, you have an opportunity now to show your power and your ability and might in them as you heal their bodies. And we thank you for that today. Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Father God, for the word today and all that you have done. You are faithful to us. You remain faithful. And we give your name praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.